All right, the recorder is on, and I'm opening the Kindle. NTI, we are in chapter 17, I think. Yep, chapter 17, and we're at verses 5 and 6, which in my Kindle is on page 165. What page is it for you guys? The same? 165? All right. I realize that it will sometimes seem to take great faith to see your thoughts as meaningless, for you have taught yourself that your thoughts have great meaning. In fact, you believe that your thoughts have purpose, and that purpose is to define and make sense of your world and to define and protect you. This is the hidden meaning you have given them, and this is why you must lay your thoughts aside. For if you have made sense and meaning out of the purely meaningless, you are living within a world of illusion and believing it. In order to discover what is true, you must lay illusion aside, for you cannot find truth by looking through a filter of illusion. This will seem to take great faith at times, but faith is nothing more than an expression of willingness. Call on your willingness and remember it is your strength. So I would say what's being talked about here are the thoughts that we really think are important. I guess I would call them core values, personal core values. Like one core value that I've always had is I look to a leader and I expect the leader to lead in the way that they teach. I mean, leaders, I guess they teach. All leaders teach. And I expect them to lead in the way that they teach. You know, I call that integrity. That's an expectation, right? And so what happened for me is there was a particular spiritual teacher that I knew on a personal level. And I happened to see this teacher get very, very, very angry. He actually wanted someone to take his dog because he traveled a lot and he was having trouble caring for his dog. So he wanted this particular woman to take his dog and she didn't want his dog. And he got really angry. He like wrote her emails and capital red letters and all this stuff. And I saw this and that isn't what bothered me. Okay, I just saw that, but I knew it. A couple weeks later, he was teaching. And I heard him say, I never get angry anymore. Now that's what bothered me. Bothered you too, didn't it? No, I'm sorry.
I was just looking up.
Oh, no, sorry. You looked up at just the right time. Did it bother you? Okay, good.
What bothered me is your projection.
My projection. he said that he does not get angry anymore. And I expected as a spiritual leader that he would not lie like that. I expected that he would be honest. To me, a spiritual teacher is teaching honesty, therefore a spiritual teacher should be honest, right? And I became really upset. In fact, so upset that I didn't hear anything else he said after that. I was just very, very, very upset. And the next morning when I sat down and looked at this with my within, which we call Holy Spirit, but looked at this with my within, what my inner wisdom told me was that I had to let go of honesty as a value on which I judged others. It doesn't mean that I'm not to continue my own self-honesty, because you can't truly follow this path in the way I want to without self-honesty, right? So that's for me. But I could not use honesty as a value to judge you guys against, for example. So that was very difficult for me, because then, you know, it was such a core value, honesty. And so then all these thoughts show up, like, so people can just lie to me. You know, people can just, you know, say they're going to do something and not do it. And, you know, all of these thoughts came up. It was very difficult, even though on the one hand I knew that this was true because the wisdom had come through me. So I knew that this was true. On the other hand, it was very difficult for me to give my willingness to let go of that core value. It's like I thought there would be chaos in my life if I let go of this value of honesty as an expectation for all of you, and especially for, you know, spiritual leaders, right? So, you know, what this is saying is, I realize that it will sometimes seem to take great faith to see your thoughts as meaningless. For you have taught yourself that your thoughts have great meaning. I thought it was very meaningful that people be honest, and especially spiritual teachers be honest, you know, that leaders walk their talk. I thought this was very important. He says, in fact, you believe that your thoughts have purpose. And that purpose is to define and make sense of your world. You see how I'm making up the rules for the world now? All spiritual teachers are supposed to be honest. These are the rules for the world. That makes sense to me. You see? So, you believe that your thoughts have purpose. And that purpose is to define and make sense of your world. And to define and protect you. So then I could define myself against those rules, whether I, you know, you can actually define yourself on the positive or the negative side of a rule. I could define myself as I'm honest. I'm one who walks my talk. That's who I am. You can also actually define yourself as the one who isn't and have the guilt or the feel bad about that. But if you know what the rules are, then you can define yourself. You can say, this is who I am. So ultimately, making sense of the world also gives you the ability to create a self-image for you. You hear where this is going? And what happens if you create a self-image for you?
Hell.
Hell, yeah. That's because that's not true. That's not who you are. You're covering up your truth with your self-image. So, you know, these values that seem so important to us, like honesty, are actually just a way of defining our world, which is just a way of defining who we are, which is just a way of not knowing the truth of who we are.
Couldn't interpretation even be part of that too? He might not have even interpreted his actions as anger.
Well, maybe, except I do know that there is a more to the story. I worked on this for 6 months, and 6 months later, someone was bothered by something this teacher had said. In fact, I want to talk about what you just tried to do in a minute. We'll get back to that, because that's important to talk about too. Someone was bothered by something this teacher said, the same teacher, so they sent me an email, and I saw this email conversation. I don't remember what I said back to the person. That's unimportant. But a couple weeks later, I heard him teaching again, and he actually referred to the specific conversation, but he said that he said something totally different. So, but what was nice about this for me was the second time I had no reaction. So I was actually able to see, oh, you know, look, I'm not holding him to these expectations anymore. So that was good for me. Now, what you just tried to do, I used to try to do. So let's talk about that. You used to say, he's innocent because I misunderstood him. You know, justify it in some way. You know, he's not innocent because I misunderstood him. He's innocent because he's innocent.
I wasn't thinking he was innocent because you misunderstood him. Just that you misunderstood, maybe you misunderstood
yeah,
him.
Okay.
You know, that you're projecting your...
Yes, yes. No, in this case, I was projecting onto him. I was projecting an expectation onto him. That's what I was projecting. I was projecting an expectation onto him that he is not accountable to. You know, I was expecting him to be a certain way. So I was projecting onto him, but it was not my projection of the exact form of the dishonesty. The projection was the expectation that he was supposed to be honest, you know, because he was a spiritual teacher and you know, that's just the way he was supposed to be.
But then isn't there a sequence of consequence after that? I mean, you can save yourself being incensed or upset about it, but the consequence of that then ends up being kind of the same, because you discount, or not you, the person's credibility is discounted and they become sort of... you know, and someone in the non-respected region of your sphere of...
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. And if that had happened, that would mean that I never totally let go of the expectation. That's exactly what that would mean. I may have let go of it to a point, but I did not let go of it totally if he was then in my disrespected pile. In fact, just so you know, even after this, this person was invited into my house to stay for a weekend. We had, you know, steaks together. I never even brought this up to him because it was unimportant to me once it was healed in me. So, you know, that's what we're talking about by true healing. Like, he is allowed to be who he is. And I do not hold grievances or judgments against him. And so if he had moved into my disrespected pile, that would mean that I was still holding a grievance or a judgment. Yeah. So it wouldn't have been totally, I wouldn't be totally giving him the freedom to be who he is. Now, again, if somebody, let's say you're doing business with someone, and someone consistently, you know, doesn't do a good job or consistently charges you differently than they said, then you can choose not to do business with them. But you don't have to have the grievance. That's what doesn't have to be there, right? You know, so it's kind of interesting, how the inside can sometimes seem different than the outside. Like if I tell someone, you know, here's what you've promised to do and you haven't done it, this has happened a few times, you know, I don't want to do business with you anymore. You know, that can appear from the outside to be some kind of a judgment, but believe it or not, on the inside it doesn't have to be. It's just a statement of here's what happened. You know, and I just don't want to do this anymore. Now, for them, that may feel like a consequence, and that may not be a bad thing because maybe they do need to do some self-reflecting, right? And that's okay, too. But the interesting thing about the spiritual path, at least for me, is that the spiritual path is it sounds selfish, but it's literally all about me. It's all about me and my perspective and my choices and my honesty and, you know, my patience, and it's not about yours. That's your business. And my business is to allow you to make your choices. That's my job. My job is to allow you to make your choices. My job is to make mine. And I think that's where we sometimes get confused, is that, you know, when we learn this stuff, well, then we say, okay, so, you know, you're supposed to, I'll just throw a wild one out there, you're not supposed to judge. Okay, you're not supposed to judge. And then we hear two people over there talking about, you know, this one over here and judging them. We say, they're not supposed to judge. And you see, we fell right into the judging. If my job is not to judge, then I'm not supposed to judge you for your judging, right? I allow you your judging. You see how that works? My job is not to judge. It's not to police whether you are. You're allowed to judge. Yeah, that's how that works. Now, can you imagine what it would be like if everyone took that inner responsibility? You know, so that would be wonderful. So what we do, it kind of reminds me of Michael Jackson's song, The Man in the Mirror. If you want to change the world, you start with the man in the mirror. That's what we're each doing. We're each looking at ourselves and we're saying, you know, where are my mistakes, my errors? Again, not misinterpreting that as any kind of guilt, but just, you know, where am I creating my own pain? And I assure you, wherever you're creating your own pain, you're adding to the pain of the total. But where am I creating my own pain, and how can I become more peaceful and happier? And also, when you become more peaceful and happier, now, this is not true for 100% of the people, because again, everybody gets to choose their own perspective. But a vast majority of the people are going to feel much better in your own presence. So you aren't just giving a gift to yourself. You're giving a gift to a whole lot of people, because when people are around someone who's naturally happy, naturally peaceful, not caught up in being worried about this and this and angry about that and that, that's a relief to almost any soul, right? Now, there are still souls that will choose not to be relieved, and that's okay. You know, they're allowed to do that. But most people will be very happy to be with you. They'll be able to relax around you. They'll be able to be themselves around you. They'll feel that unconditional love, unconditional acceptance. And they might even become better around you. Somehow the good brings out the good, you could say. So, okay, you're supposed to say something now. No, I'm just teasing. And just the way you looked at me, I had to pick on you. Okay, so, So again, it's saying that I understand that this is sometimes going to be difficult because there are core values, you know, that you have, core expectations that you have. But if you understand that the reason you have these expectations is just so you can define what everything is, what the world is and what you are, if you have any understanding of the spiritual path, then you know that in order to get to who you really are, you have to drop those definitions. So you can see how these rules that you're making, like spiritual leaders are supposed to be honest, is actually counterproductive to your purpose, right? So let's see, what time does that say? Does that just say 25 till? Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, so verses 7 to 10. You, my brother, are not unworthy. Being one with me, you are as worthy as I am. You simply do not know yourself, and so you are unaware of your worth. But I am grateful for your willingness and your desire to be healed. I do celebrate every step you take on this path with me. Listen to me and give your faith that you may learn who you are and celebrate your worth with me. You know, any good teacher gives a warm fuzzy every now and then, and that was kind of the warm fuzzy. It was like, come on, you know, this, you know, you're this wonderful being, you know, I love you, I'm grateful for your willingness, I know this is hard sometimes, I know you think you can't do this sometimes, but I think you're awesome. That's what that was. So verses 11 to 19. Gratitude is a great gift that lives within you, for true gratitude is the recognition of truth. It is an inherent appreciation for you and your freedom. Gratitude, as the remembrance of truth, nurses your willingness to full health. Do not hold back on gratitude. Take time to sit in quiet and know your gratitude. To know the fullness of your gratitude is to receive a glimpse of your truth, for your truth is gratitude and love. Okay, there's an understanding here that, again, because we still believe our ego thoughts, that sometimes we're going to get frustrated with ourselves on this spiritual path. For example, if we have trouble letting go of the core value of honesty, we might still then start believing thoughts like, you know, I'm a loser, I'm never going to do this, I'm, whatever. And so what this is really doing is this is giving us a little exercise that we can do every day that's actually going to build up, you could say, our spiritual thinking rather than strengthening our ego thinking. And that simple exercise that we can do every day is just spend a little bit of time in gratitude. And the interesting thing is, this is not asking us to be gratitude for a specific thing. It's not like those lists that some people make, I'm grateful I have a home, I'm grateful I have a healthy body. This is just being in gratitude itself, a non-specific gratitude, and just being with it. And he says that this non-specific gratitude is actually your truth. In other words, when you know yourself fully, this gratitude is just going to be everything, right? So when you're sitting in this non-specific gratitude, you're actually sitting in yourself. And so what happens is that strengthens that part of you, you could say, that awareness of yourself. And as you strengthen your awareness of yourself, you're going to find it easier not to get caught up in the ego thinking, which is not yourself. Does that make sense? And it's a pretty simple exercise for most people, maybe not everyone, but it's a pretty simple exercise just to take a few moments every day just to be in gratitude. Okay. Verses 20 to 37. Now you are learning not to look for the kingdom of God in a time or as a place, for the kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God is yourself in your natural state of truth and joy when your misperceptions of yourself have been healed. I have told you that you have only traveled away from me within your perception of yourself. This is not an analogy or a helpful thought. It is the truth. In your perception, you see yourself as something other than I am. And it is this misperception that keeps you from seeing the kingdom of God, which is at hand within you now. When will your misperception be healed? This is a question that has no answer, for when is a matter of time, and healing is not a matter of time. Healing is a matter of willingness. Forget about time and the future. Focus on now and the thoughts that are in your mind now. Lay aside resistance now. Dismiss meaningless thoughts now. Focus on your willingness and nurture gratitude for being. This is the process that brings about the healing of misperception, and it is a process of now. The kingdom of God is within you now. Do not let yourself be distracted away from it. I have this friend who is mistakenly always telling me that I'm enlightened. Every time I talk to her, just about, she tells me that I'm enlightened. And so I talked to her today, and she said this to me today, and I said, well, you know, if anybody else says that enlightenment is here, I have to agree with that. You know, I know that it is here. I know that it is present because I hear the wisdom myself that comes out of my mouth, right? I see the wisdom that I write when I sit and do the journaling. So there is enlightenment here, but that doesn't mean I'm enlightened. And that's basically what this is saying. This is saying the kingdom of God is here, now, in every one of us. It doesn't need to be achieved. There's no someday I'll be enlightened. You know, that's not a true thought. That's a completely false idea. The kingdom of God is here now. But the reason that we can't say I am enlightened is because we're still caught up in the misperception of who we are. We're still caught up in believing that we are people. We still believe the thoughts about the person, you know. We still believe, you know, simple thoughts like, I don't like the boom boxes that go by my house at night, right? So we can't say I'm enlightened because the I isn't. But the enlightenment is here in every one of us. And that's where the realizations come from. That's where the inner wisdom comes from. Even if we read something in a book like NTI and something in us says that's true, that's where that confirmation comes from, is our own enlightenment. So it's present now. So what this is saying is instead of putting enlightenment out there as some future goal, just start watching now. Watch for thoughts of unenlightenment, for example, and just say, that's a meaningless thought. You know, watch for your expectations that you have and say, these expectations are just hurting me. Watch for your core values that you're using to define the world and define who you are and say, this is just creating an illusion of what everything's supposed to be. And focus now on removing everything that is not that enlightenment, and the way you remove it is just by looking at it and saying, that's not true. It's a positive use of denial. And that's how you will realize your enlightenment, is by not listening to everything that's not your enlightenment. Does that make sense? Because your enlightenment's here. You don't have to achieve enlightenment. You don't have to go get enlightenment. You don't have to learn enlightenment. It's present. But I am not enlightened. There is a difference. And that's also why you don't have to seek. You'll hear some teachers tell you to stop seeking. What they're referring to is the idea that we have that the enlightenment isn't here and that I have to somehow get it. And that's a false idea, which is why they tell you to stop seeking. Stopping seeking is not necessarily the same thing as stopping your spiritual practice. Your spiritual practice is removing the unenlightenment. But you don't need to seek enlightenment. It's already here. In everyone. Even the, quote, most unenlightened person on earth. Right? So you don't have to seek it. You just have to, well, of course, a miracle says that, right? That you just have to, you don't have to seek for love. You just have to remove all of the blocks to love's presence. So, that's it. And that's usually when we stop, too, is at a quarter till. So what I'm going to do is turn off my recorder, and then we'll just take a few moments of, you know, silence to look at what we talked about tonight. And again, I got something in my throat. I guess you can tell that, but I'm sure I'll take some drinking. I'll do some drinking during the silence, and maybe that will help clear it away. But again, we really talked about a couple of things. One thing that we talked about is that it isn't always going to be easy to let go of our core value expectations or our core value thoughts. But if we can see that these thoughts are defining how the world is supposed to be and defining who we are, and we can realize that's an obstacle to truth, then maybe we'll find the willingness to let go of the core thoughts. If we listen to the ego, who's going to say, it's just all chaos without that, you got to have that, you know, we're not going to let go of them. And then the other key thought was, again, this last thought that really the kingdom of heaven is here, or, you know, said another way, enlightenment is here. That presence, that's what we all are. It's here. So we don't need to seek for it. We don't need to learn it. We don't need to gain it. We don't need to earn it. We just need to remove everything that isn't it by not believing those things, by not buying into them. All right, I'll stop the recorder.